Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Take a little shortbread, but you're not bought. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, crunchy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome your family members. We welcome your ancestors. We welcome the life that is breathing and moving through you right now. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're here. You tuned in to yourself to tune in to Life Conversations Radio. And just the intention to be more, to embrace all that you are, to embrace the light, to embrace the darkness, to welcome all that your soul has for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're here Monday through Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Officially, that's the official time. That's the official time. 12 to 1:30 p.m. We usually finish at the guest around that time, and sometimes we do a little bit longer. It just depends on what's going on. But anyway, I'm your host, Life Coach Ade. The shows are archived. You can download them by going to lifeconversationsradio.com if you're not listening online right now. But if you are, you just know where to go. Or you can just simply click the iTunes button, and that will take you to the iTunes page, and you could see all the shows we've done. Well, I think you could see it all the way back to 2008 on this wonderful platform known as Blog Talk Radio. And, that's that. So, how's everybody doing? Okay, what else do I have to say? That's it. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Today we are talking grief. We're talking embracing grief, grief rituals. We're talking African spirituality. Our guest is here, Sabumpu Sumay. If you've heard about her, if you've read her book, if you've been through any of the workshops you've done, you know already what you're going to experience. If you haven't, you're in for soul transformation. She has visited Life Conversations Radio many times now, and she's way due to be back. So I am so, so grateful to have her, and we're going to go to the bumper in a minute. Just want to do some announcements. What's going on in the world today? What's going on energetically? I just feel like I want to just lay back and just chill. Well, that's what I do, but maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I just need some sleep. Maybe it's just that simple. Maybe it's not the planet. Maybe it's the planet within me saying, can we rest? You've been retrograding, not sleeping as much. Yes, indeed. 347-426-3346. We're taking your questions, your comments. What do you want to share with us today? What are you moving through? What are you dealing with? Are you going through the dark nights of the soul and your challenge? You think, you know, you just can't make it. This is the worst thing that ever happened. 347-426-3346. If you can't call in, but you really want to ask Bumpo a question and you just need some guidance, you need some light because everything just seems so dark, or you lost a loved one, or you lost your pet, whatever you're going through and growing through, you can go to the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page on Facebook, and post your questions there, and we will get to it. And let's see, I'm multitasking here, as always. When you get there, it's better to click, because, you know, Facebook keeps updating. So once you get there, scroll down underneath where it says, I am here to serve, I am here to inspire, I am here to love, I am here to live my truth. That's a quote by Deepak Chopra. Scroll down, you see a button that says highlights. It's very faint. Just click on that and click the post by others. Post your questions there. Now, sometimes people send a message through the Life Coach Ade fan page. Don't do that, okay? I already have enough to do. Don't do that, because either we don't get to your question or it takes a while to see it. So just post it. But if you don't want to post it because you don't want people to know your business, we're going to tell it anyway, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com lifeconversationsmedia.com, and there's a tab labeled Ask Life Coach Today. Just click that and follow the prompts. Yeah, follow the prompts. You're fired. Follow the prompts. There you go. Oh, boy. Yes. Anyway, let's move right along. And, yeah, we'll get to you. But it's best to call in 347-426-3346. Let me give you some other announcements before we jump into today's conversation. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. So we have the African mother, African Queen Tabitha Somay here today to celebrate mothers, to celebrate the continent called Africa, to celebrate all of life. And then tomorrow we have Brother Ishmael Tete. He's coming to tell us about Mother Nature. So we're really gearing up for a wonderful weekend. Brother Ishmael Tete will be here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. He's the author of one of his many books, The Way Forward, Nature's Principles and Practices for Empowered Living. Nature's Principles and Practices for Empowered Living. He's going to be joining us tomorrow. So we have Sister Sabampu from Burkina Faso, and tomorrow we have Brother Ishmael Tete from Ghana. We're going to be flying high. We're going to celebrate the mother in each and every one of us. Yes, men. The mother in each and every one of us as well. After today's show, tomorrow's show, by Monday, it'll be a whole new world. We'll celebrate the divine feminine energy, particularly in men and females, because some females forget. They think they have to be like a man. Anything a man can do, I can do. Yes, you can, but you don't need to. The man got it. You just do what a woman should be doing or needs to do or how she needs to express. So, yes, to my brother Ishmael Tete. So it should be a great show. Also, I forgot. Let me tell you, at 2 o'clock today, don't forget, we have a new show here called Here to Inspire with Aisha. Today she's talking. She's helping you find your purpose. Are you struggling? I don't know what my purpose is. That's an ongoing conversation for some people. Some people have found their purpose. They're living it. Some people think, I think I am, but I'm not sure. So that's 2 p.m. Eastern with Aisha on Here to Inspire today, Wednesday. That happens every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern. And we also have another show called My Authentic Lifestyle that happens, that is when every third Sunday of the month with Molot. So that's coming up soon, whatever the third Sunday of May is. I'm not even looking at the calendar right now because I've got too much to do. We started the show off with Giwayi Mata. To find out more about them, go to their website. It is giwayenmata.org. Giwayi Mata, find out more about those wonderful sisters who are doing amazing things with the drums. They just heal your body, your soul. They connect you, even if you don't think you've got ancestors. Some people think they don't. But when you experience that drum, you just start seeing stuff that you didn't even know you can see. So, speaking of seeing stuff you didn't know you can see, experiencing life on a deeper level, maybe you've fallen out of grace and you're struggling. Well, we're going to talk about how you can meditate on the lot and embrace it, hearing and meditate and wisdom from Sister Sabampu. Let me read a little bit about her because I am ready to go. I got my questions ready. I'm sitting in the front row going, me, call me. I got questions, Sister Sabampu. I'm excited. Oh, one more thing. Yes, right now because, well, don't talk about what's going to happen later. Just stay in the moment. We want to encourage you to share the show with your friends, your lovers, your haters, your ex-wife, your ex-husband, your supervisor, your manager. Yes, your supervisor. They need to learn how to chill and celebrate community. And tell them about the show. Put it in your Facebook page. Click the like page. Send a text or tweet. Just tell people you got to listen to the show. If this is the last thing you do on this planet, you got to listen to the show because you won't be the same after listening. Okay, I'm done now. I'm done with the announcement. Here's a little bit about Sabampu Somay. I'm so grateful. One of the foremost voices in African spirituality to come to the West. Destined from birth to teach the ancient wisdom, rituals, and practices of her ancestors to those in the West. The Bumble, whose name means keeper of the rituals, travels the world on a healing mission, sharing the rich spiritual life and culture of her native land, Burkina Faso, which ranks as one of the world's poorest countries, yet one of the richest in spiritual life and custom. Recognized by the village elders as possessing special gifts from birth, Sabantu's destiny was foretold before her birth, as is the custom of the Dogara tribe of Burkina Faso, and was fostered by early education. Makes a difference. Early education in ritual and initiation into preparation for her life's work. My work is really a journey in self-discovery and in building community through rituals, says Sabantu. Dogara rituals involve healing and preparing the mind, body, spirit, and soul to receive the spirituality that is all around us. It is always challenging to bring the spiritual into the material world, but it is one of the only ways we can put people back in touch with the earth and the inner value, spirituality. Sabantu has written two books. It's more than two books. But anyway, that's what I said about it. She's written two books. Yeah, of course, I got a third book right here. At least, yeah, I know that much. At least three books. The Spirit of Intimacy and Welcoming Spirit Home. And the one I have here, Falling Out of Grace. Meditation on Loss, Healing, and Wisdom. Just powerful books. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Sister Sabantu Somme. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you, Sister Sabantu.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just feeling the energy of our conversation. And thank you for saying yes to life. Thank you for accepting our invitation. And, yeah, it's time to jump into this conversation. Oh, before I jump into the conversation, I just got a reminder. At 1 o'clock, thank you, Celeste, at 1 o'clock we have... Celestial Moment segment with Celeste Morgan, and then we'll continue the conversation with Sabantu. So let's continue now. Thank you for that reminder. Sabantu, I read a bit about you, your bio, the books you've written, your story from the beginning, before the beginning. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, from this moment called now, who are you? Who is Sabantu Somme?
Well, Sabantu Somme is a child of the universe, and she started her roots in Burkina Faso, West Africa. She's a woman who loves children and loves to travel and loves the human connection, the connection to the spirit. And just takes delight in life, in all the ways it comes, shape, form, colors, and
I know that's right.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom. Life comes in many colors.
Yes, sure does.
Oh boy, yes, love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many questions that I have floating around in my awareness that I want to ask, but I'm just going to keep it simple and really just let's start from the beginning. I know we want to focus around grief and embracing, and we'll talk about that. You talk about how you travel around the world and, you know, just the work that you do, and in your bio it talks about the
spirituality, it's about self-discovery and helping us blend who we are with the material world. And you bring African spirituality to people in a whole new way, humorous, in a gentle way, and just ways that it can be received. For me, when I listen to you, when I watch your videos, it's like, I'm saying, yes, of course, it's that simple. You talk about community. I want to ask you, though, what is African spirituality, and how is it different from the Western spirituality, if there's any difference?
Well, African spirituality is really basic, and it is rooted. It is rooted in things that are real. It is rooted in the seen and in the unseen world. It is rooted in the ancestors, the spirits that are around us. It is rooted in manifesting, you know, those things that we would like to see achieved. So for us, you know, when we send a prayer out, it's not so that it can remain unheard, but that we need to see results. And hence, you know, your prayers and the way you bring your prayers out is very important. And also, you know, in connecting with a world of spirit, it's not just something that you imagine that it is far away, but that it is very much there. You know, it is a part of you, it is in you, it is, you know, right around you. And also that there isn't really anyone that stands between you and spirit and God. So, you know, you have direct access to all those forces. And I really believe that is, you know, the radical difference between African spirituality and spirituality in the West. Where people need somebody else to be the medium for them to access, you know, their ancestor, to access God, to access spirit, and so on.
You talked about prayer, and there's an expectation that there's going to be an answer prayer, that there's going to be a result. I guess let me ask a basic question. Is prayer, when we talk about African spirituality, is it the same as how it's done, uttered in the Western way of just saying, God, I need a new car, or God, bless me, or heal my mother, heal my father, and hoping something would happen? How is it done? How do we go about tapping into the African way of praying so we move into a place where we know the prayer is going to be answered? I guess that's two questions, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is one of those things that, you know, you make yourself worthy of something. You deserve it. You know, it's not that God has to decide whether you deserve something or not. But no, you make yourself worthy of something. And then your intention. Your intention is important. You know, like a lot of people, they pray for things, but they don't want them to manifest because they are afraid that they might actually happen. In Africa, when you are praying for something, you make yourself worthy, and you set your intention for that thing to manifest. And so as a result, what happens is that, you know, the clarity of your intention, you know, helps you to say the words that actually, you know, kind of wake spirit up or wake God up, you know, so that they can really actually hear what you are saying, so that they can go to work on your behalf and not just you on their behalf, you know. Because a lot of us have been doing work on behalf of our ancestors, for instance, but very few of us actually think to ask help from the ancestors. And yet, you know, we see that things are not working out, and we continue to pretend as if we can fix it by ourselves. Well, you know, the point is that some of those things are not things that were started by us. Those ancestors know what thing went wrong during their living times, and that they have the capacity to go back and unplug or plug the things in the right sockets so that things can begin to function well in the family again. And so, you know, by reaching out and telling the ancestors, here is how we are experiencing the legacy you left us. You know, this part definitely does not feel right. Hear how it is playing itself out in the family. Hear how it is destroying our lives. And here's what we would like for you to do in order to change that. You know, it is loud and clear. But, you know, when I hear people praying, I go, my God, this is really a self-defeat prayer. Because this prayer is not going to take you anywhere. You know, when I hear people say, well, God, you know, my child is really suffering. But if you really believe that I deserve to have this child, then do something about it. You know, God probably goes to sleep on you and start to snore and say, when you have something better, let me know. You know, how important is this child to you? How critical is their breast to you? And how are you going to go about it to let the ancestors, to let God and goddesses know that this child shall live, you know, and that I am not willing to lose this child? You know, the intensity of the passion that you come with, you know, has the capacity to wake God, even if God is very busy with 10,000 or 10 million or billion people calling on to them. They say, oh, yes. Granted, wish granted, you know. And that is, you know, one of the differences that I see. You know, when I hear people pray, I have to go, no, we need to change that prayer. That is not, you know, a prayer that is alive. It has no passion in it. It has no intention to manifest something. And furthermore, it even remove a person from the prayer itself.
So the intention is almost like making a demand. It goes deeper, and knowing that, you know, that there is a connection that runs deep, and so we're not. And this connection through the ancestors, through God, is not something you talked about. Coming, knowing your worthiness, knowing your worth. So it's, we don't need anybody to plead our case. We can just like a little child, we'll go to their parent if they want something, if they want a hug, is to step into that place where we ask knowing that the prayer will be answered and we can ask for what we desire, what we deserve, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So let's, let's talk about the ancestors. There are people who say, generally, when you hear the conversation around ancestors, there's some people who can sort of relate. It's usually about the history. Our ancestors did this, our forefathers did that. But then in the African community, people refer to their ancestors having rituals and praying to their ancestors. But there are also people who say, well, why would I want to ask my ancestors to help me? They're gone. They're dead. I don't really have any connection with them. If anything has to change, it's up to me, because that's one of the things we teach in Western spirituality. And I think, you know, there needs to be more conversation around that, because we're always saying it's all about you. If you want to change your life, it's you. It's not about the past. It's not about the, you know, what happened in your family many years ago. What do you say to that in the context of turning to ancestors and the challenges that some of us are going through and growing through right now? Is probably linked to the life that lived in our ancestors.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to make it a one single person, you know, deal, yeah, you will have more work on your plate, because your ancestors will sit around and watch you suffer and go, when you are ready to have access for help, we will step in. I think when we try to do too much, you know, we end up being, you know, in a cycle, you know, where we recycle the same thing because we're really not asking for help from any other sources. It's good to make the ego feel good, but the ego only can take you so far. You know, we were not here because we just wanted to be here. We came here because, you know, there is a voice that called out to our gifts, and that's why we came. And the spirit of the place made sure that we arrived safely. The ancestors made sure they cheer us all along the way. so that we can get here safely and soundly. And so our ancestors are not just dead people, you know. Our ancestors, they are alive. They are in our breath. They are in our, you know, fire. The fires that burn deep within us. They are in, you know, those songs that we sing. They are in every part of us. And so to make them dead, you know, and not have any kind of life is to also make a part of us also dead, because that part in us that need to embrace the ancestors so that we can be more alive is missing. And that's probably one of the reasons why we get depressed a lot, because we realize there's no other energy feeding us, because we have cut ourselves out of those places that actually feed, you know, those spirit, the spirit part in us, and so on. And so, so the ancestors are well and they are alive, and they are asking to dance with us on daily basis, so that the what we set our intention to do can be handled by the seen and the unseen world, so that things can begin to happen as they need to be, as they need to be. Because without those interactions, you know, it's just like kind of being a blind man in the middle of nowhere, that you have no bearing whatsoever.
Right. If you're just joining us, my guest is Sobhamphu Somay. Her website address is sobhamphu.com. That's SOBONFU.com. Sobhamphu Somay is the guest. She's the author of Falling Out of Grace, Welcoming Spirit, Welcoming Spirit Home, and The Spirit of Intimacy. And we'll cover some of the, especially intimacy. I got a clip that I play normally, regularly for my listeners, and we'll share that in a minute. If you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. There are people in the chat room sharing their grief or their experience of grief, and we'll get to that. Sobhamphu, let's shift gears a little bit, because we're just a tiny bit, really. Because when we're talking about connecting with our ancestors, we're allowing ourselves, we're making a choice to know that there is we have a community that goes beyond what we can see with our physical eyes. You talk about community, you talk about it, the Gara tribe and the culture, and how what happens to one person is happening to everybody else. Can you tell us more on community, what it means, and even how we can apply that in the West to help us move through the challenges that we go through?
Well, we are each born into many different circles that are interconnected. There is a world of spirit. There is a world of our immediate family, our village, city, town, or country. And then there is a larger part that, you know, we all belong to. And all those different communities must work if we are to be well, and so on. And so seen and unseen world, you know, are constantly in communion, are constantly in dance with each other, so that they can balance out things, and so on and so on. And so community is really, you know, that place where we have a place where we can rest. We can rest our mind, we can rest our spirit, we can rest our soul. And it is also that place that provides the container which receives, you know, the gifts that we have brought into this world, which receives us and which receives, you know, the kind of spirit that we are bringing. And so in that sense, you know, community is basically the guiding light behind any being that I am, enables that person or that being to achieve their life purpose. And so we are a part of that community, whether we want to belong to it or not. But we definitely, needs that community. It is because of the call of that community that we are here. The community has said that they needed a certain kind of medicine, and we basically said, I have exactly that medicine, so here I come with that medicine, and so on. And so to come into a community or communities and to want to divorce one from that community is to really put one's life at risk, and so on. And so community is to create, you know, that safe space that we all desire. You know, when community is functioning, you know, we don't need, you know, gated community, we don't need alarms, and we don't need any of that. But when it starts to not work, we need all those things to protect ourselves. And so, but it is so because we stop investing, you know, energy to really nurture community. You know, community doesn't happen because we live in one place, but it happens because we are each willing to put something into that community to keep it healthy, to keep it well, so that we, in turn, can benefit from the wellness of the community and so on. And so so how do we apply, you know, community when we have lived our entire life feeling like we are individual? Well, by recognizing that, you know, we were not born alone. We were born into the hands of a community. And that furthermore, we need that community for our mental, physical, and spiritual sanity. Because the mad makings that happen when there's no community is that one loses sight of what kind of gift that they have brought. And then all kind of illnesses, you know, arises out of that because the support system that is to feed us, that is to keep us well, is missing, and so on. And so we need to begin to acknowledge the fact that we do need community, and that we can begin to awaken it within ourselves and within other people so that it can work. Because a lot of time people say, well, I am my own community. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. But can you really take care of all the needs that that you may have? No, that is the challenge, because you do need outside energy to feed you. And when you don't have that, you know, it starts to articulate itself in terms of dysfunctional behavior and all kind of attitudes that impact you and the rest of the people's lives negatively. And so we need to just start to recognize that as human beings, we are creatures of community, and that we need to start to gather healthy people around us who will not only nurture us, so it's going to be a mutual nurturing, because community is about interdependency. Because though you may be superwoman, superman, you still need that community to receive you when you are about to fall. And so on. And by beginning to also, you know, put our children and elders first, because those two are critical ingredients to creating healthy community. You cannot have community without those people who hold the torch, you know, for us to know where we're going, and without and we cannot have a healthy community without having children. So who is going to come and, you know, take those things that we need? So they're small things, but it's important to implement them, you know, as well as adding a space for us, a space for our ancestors to exist, a place where, you know, all the different spirits can exist, and so on. You know, how do we feed our ancestors? How do we keep our relationship alive with the spirit so that, you know, we can truly have a relationship, and so on.
So what about people who'd say, you know, I really am listening to Sister Sabumfo, I really want to get, because I feel like I don't have a community, I don't get on with my brothers and sisters, but I really need it, and I feel like I want to be part of a community, but
but, you know, I'm kind of, I don't want to be too vulnerable. I don't want to, you know, what if people don't like me? What if people, you know, judge me? But there's something in them. Just more really, it's about the fear of being vulnerable. What would you say to someone who wants to create a, be part of a community or create a community, but they have this sense of trying to protect their vulnerability?
Well, the first thing I would say is I try to release control. And try to make community small, because you see it a certain way does not mean that it has to be small. A lot of time, you know, we need the community, but we want to control everybody else, and that is going to be a problem. And you're right. If you are going to get into community, you have to iron out certain things. And I would go to the ancestors for that, you know, because when we start community and it doesn't have a spiritual foundation to it, then we have ego to ride it. And so how are my fear being an obstacle to me creating the community? So, yes, people will talk, but that is because the community has not really, you know, formed itself. And that it is not healthy, and that's why people are talking. But that should I let people talk, you know, be an obstacle, you know, to me creating the community? No, because I know what I'm going for. I know I want something healthy, and I know I want to not be around those gossipers. So that should be even more of a motivation for me to create a community, so that, you know, I and my relations can be well, and so on. To go into community, you know, also mean to deal with all the emotions that we have. So, but it's not a one-person thing. You know, when we actually are able, you know, to share those emotions together, we'll realize that it's a human experience. We all feel. And when we feel together, there's no judging of what is happening. But it is when we shut our emotion and pretend as if everything goes well. Well, somebody else just picks up on it. And then because they pick up on it, then, you know, they might start to pick at you because they realize you're not being genuine in what you're feeling and so on and so on.
So really what you're saying is the fact that someone's feeling vulnerable, it's really the nudge to keep going, to keep moving, and being willing to let go of control, like, saying, I don't want people to know that I'm vulnerable. I don't want to feel that. To let go of the control and show up, which is what allows us to connect, or would allow this one to connect with the community, because somebody else said, I feel the same way. I'm nervous, or this whole thing is new to me. And so really not to discount what we're feeling, but to embrace it and let it lead us to what we say we desire. That's what I hear. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's absolutely what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. We've got a question, and for the rest of the listeners who are just joining us, my guest is Bumble Sommet. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, and we'll come to you. If you can't call in and you're online, listening online, you can go to Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page, and post your questions there. We'll get to it. And if you don't do Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, LifeConversationsMedia.com, and just click the Ask Life Coach at a tab and send in your questions that way. We got a question. Geraldine said, how can one have such a community when they live in an area called the Bible Belt and there's no one that believes in such things? How can we create a community when we live in a Bible Belt and people don't even believe in that?
Well, I actually don't agree that people don't believe in it. You know, people may repress what they believe so that they can, you know, achieve only one oriented goal. And that is true, because even when you go to the Bible Belt and you talk to people, they know something is missing. But, you know, it's like, who is going to be the first, you know, basically, who's going to sacrifice themselves first to open the way for all the rest of us and so on. But, you know, people respond to a lot of different things. And if we start to create, you know, ways, you know, of empowering our children, if we start to create ways of welcoming each other, if we start to create ways, you know, to embrace the wisdom that our elders have, you know, those are things that people respond to. Whether you only monofocal or multifocal, people understand, oh, yes, that is important. And that is really the creation of a healthy community. When we can know that together our children are well and that the wisdom of our elders are being listened to, you know, that is the beginning of creation. And you will realize that, you know, with Bible or no Bible, you know, we understand that our soul needs those very energy if we are going to be well. But to allow the Bible to be an obstacle, you know, is to, again, let, you know, a monofocal ways to exist in the world and so on. And so I really believe that, you know, we don't have to be stuck with religion, but that we can go beyond, you know, religion to actually achieve what we are trying to achieve, what we are so craving for in the world and so on. For the simple fact that someone believes, you know, in Yahweh or, you know, Jesus does not mean that they are necessarily my enemy. You know, we all trying to access an energy that is the same that we have come to dress, you know, in only one type of clothes that we recognize. But it doesn't mean that that clothes, you know, is that entity. You know, we are only making it so because that's what makes us feel comfortable.
And in truth, as you know, we always, the life that lives in us is always reaching out to the life that lives in somebody else. Because if there's a tragedy, if there's crisis, or even when we go to a concert or sport, to the arena to watch a game, we leave old beliefs behind. We don't go into, oh, Christians are sitting over here, Muslims are sitting over here, and it's recognizing that community comes in so in different forms. And if we don't have, if I feel like I want to be part of a community and the ones that I see doesn't really align with what I believe and it triggers me, then I can create my own. And one of the things you said, just because someone believes in something different doesn't mean, you know, they're not part of the community, because ultimately we are connected, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, when you're talking about, you know, the stadium, you know, it is one of the last places where, you know, yes, community exists, but it is also one of the places where virtual still exists. You know, it is a place where we feel free to open, to express, you know, our feeling and so on, you know, because it is a safe place. Everybody has gone in there with a common, you know, goal and so on. So we don't isolate, and that's what we need to start to create at all the different level of our life, so we can reach out to each other without barriers.
Right, right. And, you know, that's a key word, safe like, space to create for one another. So, you know, for the Geraldine, you know, if you're in a place where really you feel like you're not part of a community or you can't create a community, well, find other people to feel like you. Create a safe space for others and have your own community, not to be separate, but to be able to provide what you want and what you desire. Let's talk about grief, because we're talking about safe space. We're talking about the answers. How do you define grief?
Well, grief is an emotion. It is the result of the everyday friction with ourselves, with spirit, with one another. It is a friction that is a result of the delivery or lack of delivery of our gift. It is also the result of all the unformulated or unmet needs that we carry. And so grief is something that is alive. It is something that can basically make and take form if not tended to, and so on. So grief is the other side of joy, because they go hand in hand. You cannot have joy without grief. Because the same way we have valleys and mountains, you know, if you have one, you are going to have the other one.
Right, right. And grief is something, well, I guess joy is liberating and freeing, but grief seems to be heavy. It could be from, you know, just the pain and the anger of losing a loved one, a pet, or losing a job or a divorce. But it could be so heavy, so painful. It feels like someone is, like you're dying alive. And in society, we've created ways to avoid, you know, to numb ourselves from the pain of grief. How would you suggest that we go about it to get to a place where we can sit with the pain, sit with the grief, and not run from it with alcohol, sex, television, whatever, reading a book or trying to tell other people what to do while we're in pain? What can we start to do to make contact, to connect with our grief and sit with it so we can receive the healing?
Well, I think to do that, we need some kind of container, whether it be a container of community, of people and spirit. And we also need a place where the grief can be focused or released into. So we need a container. So even if we don't have people around, we have at least the community of spirit around to bear witness to our grief. But it needs to have a place to go to. So you have to have some kind of altar where it is directed. Part of the reason why we give our grief to one another is because we mistake the people for the altars where we need to put the grief into. So as a result, you know, because the lack of altar, we start to dump our grief onto others. But they are not shrines. They are not altars. So they cannot really take it the same way an altar would be able to take it. So, you know, once you have those elements, you know, just sitting with the awareness, you know, where am I feeling heavy? Where am I feeling sad? Where am I feeling troubled? Where do I feel not at home? Where do I not feel at peace? And so on. And to begin to, give room and space to those different places and voices, you know, to express themselves so that we can actually be able to release, you know, unsettled part in us and so on. The other thing is also being able to clean your space when you finish, releasing so that the energy is clean out of your home and so on. And if you have a natural place, it is even better to do it outside somewhere.
So you took two things, the altar and cleaning the space. Let's talk about the altar. When you say altar, what do you mean, and how do we go about creating an altar or the space for us to express our grief?
Well, an altar comes out of an intention. And so you don't just create an altar for the sake of creating one, but what is the purpose? How is this altar going to support what I'm trying to achieve in the world and so on? And so the purpose behind the altar will help you create something that will echo the place in you that needs healing, celebration, and so on and so on. And so so if you want to create an altar for peace, the purpose is for you to bring about peace for yourself, for in the world, and so on. And so so you start with a prayer, and you ask permission from the spirit of the land to create the altar. Because there are spirits that are the keeper of places. We don't think about them often, but, you know, we just simply move into a home. You know, we don't even let the spirit know, all right, here I am. You know, this is why I'm here for, and this is what I would like support from. You know, we just move to places. The same way we just create altars, and we don't ask, permission. So if the spirit has set a different intention than yours, then it will be counter sometime. It might be counter play against what you're trying to achieve. So that's why it is important to ask permission. And so then after you ask the permission, then you start to bring elements that will support the purpose that you are trying to create and so on. So that would mean that your altar for peace must have symbol that echo peace. You know, for every culture is different, but in my culture, you know, you have water. Water represents peace for us. And you may have, you know, certain masks that are peace mask, for instance, you know, to put into focus what you're trying to achieve and so on. And after you have created the altar, then you make another prayer for the spirit of peace to come and to take over the altar so that the gateway is directly open, because an altar is a gateway, so that the gateway is open directly to the spirit of peace and so on. And, of course, you know, when you have an altar, you must interact with the altar. It's not just a nice thing to have in your home, but how do you interact with it? Well, it is with you showing up continuously to the altar. It is through you taking your prayers to it. It is taking. It is through you feeding the altar, you know, with food, with your emotions, and so on and so on. And so an altar is alive and needs interaction. So it's not just a fanciful thing that you put because you think it's a nice thing to have. Well, I'm a spiritual person, so I have this altar. No, that is not spirituality. That is bullshitism.
I hear that. We're going to take a break, and actually, I guess I've got a comment from the listener. Well, we're going to take a break and get ready for Celestial Moment. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. There are those of you listening on already. If you've got a question, press 1 on your keypad and we'll come to you. You can post your question on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page on Facebook or go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. We are going to take a break and welcome all of you for being here. Geraldine is in the house. Silent listeners are here. You've got Naila or Nyla, depends on how you pronounce your name. Thank you for being the ambassadors in the house. Is that Kefir? Kefir looks like Kefir in the house. Don Wolf. Is that Don Wolf? And everybody else on the phone line, and those of you listening, those of you listening to the show on the archive, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. We're going to take a very quick break, come back with Celestial Moment, and continue the conversation on African spirituality, grief, and embracing it, and recognizing that there is life that moves in you and through you that transcends birth and death. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Yes, indeed. It is about empowerment. It's about creating community, recognizing that you are not alone. You are not alone. You are part of... Actually, I'm going to do this now. I'll do it after a Celestial Moment. I don't know. What am I going to do? No, let's do Celestial Moment. No, let's do this. Let's do this. Got all this candy stuff. There's so full stuff to share. And let's see. This is something that's multiple. And I just think it's so powerful, so to the point. And then we'll do Celestial Moment. Let's go here. And it is right here, talking about rituals.
We all need ritual in our lives.
we need to welcome ourselves, to wake up to rituals. Rituals are important in giving us a sense of being, a sense of presence, in being able to connect with one another, with the earth, with all the different elements in our lives. Rituals are to the soul what physical food is to our body. In our country, when we wake up every morning, it is important to welcome ourselves from all the journeys that we have taken while we were asleep. So we wake up, we hold ourselves, and we welcome ourselves back from wherever we have been.
Mm-hmm. You're so much more than your body. There's so much more. Create altars and make sure it's alive, not just something safe. Look what I got. My altar looks better than your altar. I got my altar from Macy's. Anyway, let's say this is time for a celestial moment. Can you imagine buying altars from Macy's? Oh, boy. I don't know. But I guess it works. If it works for you. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really hoping you stop giving marketing ideas away, though. Hello, Sister Sumbafu. Hello, Life Coach today. And I actually have a question. And mm-hmm. the question is, which element is running this year? I believe yes, last year was water. I'd love to know what's flowing this year, Sumbafu, if you have a moment.
Yes, sure. This year is a fire year. So fire is about the dream world. It's about connecting to the ancestors. It's about waking up our passion. It's about being able to manifest our vision out in the world. And so it is a wonderful year that if you have projects that you have put aside and that you have not been able to achieve, to pull them back out, because the energy of the world is of this year is very supportive of restarting new project and bringing out new passions that you may have kind of put in the back corner. It is also a wonderful year to do healing with your ancestors, because it's very conducive to cutting away those debris that keep us from being able to reach out to our ancestors and so on. And so it's a wonderful year to be alive. It is a wonderful year to allow yourself to receive yourself and to also be able to come fully alive. So I would support anyone wanting to get on the purpose to really start to plant the seed, because of the nature of the year, things are moving really fast. So don't wait too long, because it might be gone before you know it. But it is definitely a wonderful year to be alive.
That's a divine download. I don't know who else got that, but I did. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to move to the family. I'm going to remember it's a fire year. I have a gift for you hiding underneath Sumbafu and Life Coach Ade. Here we go. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Wednesday, May 9th, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2026. Add 2026, and the energy of the day equals 10. Now, for some extra fun, let's see what happens when 10 becomes the hidden factor. We are going to play with the number 19 today. Add 1 plus 9, and you get 10. See that 10 underneath? It shows up as the turtle representing Mother Earth in medicine cards and the Wheel of Fortune in tarot. The foundation of 19 rests in the love of the Divine Mother and the ups and downs of life. We are reminded to go to the center and find our way home. But first, let's learn how to stand in the light. The 19th letter of the alphabet is S, and words like sacred, scared, and simplicity connect us to the magical power of 19. I like to think that every time you have a word or a name with an S in front of it, then it is a reminder that something is about to be revealed. Revelation. Now, 19 also expresses us the buffalo in medicine cards and the sun in tarot. C, say hello to the buffalo sun, and that's where we're going to put our focus today. The buffalo of the medicine cards is the gift of abundance and prayer. The buffalo changing woman brought the peace pipe to the Native Americans, and she reminded that all life is sacred. When we embody that message, then we get to manifest peaceful experiences, regardless of chaotic situations. Now, the sun also shows us how to love. Its affirmation from the everyday goddess reminds, I am blessed with the gift of life. I am free to create a life filled with joy, open and connected to God. The sun is unconditional love. It shines on everyone, and it doesn't make choices. The life force touches us all, and therefore, we get to become the answer to a prayer when we share our gifts and our talents freely. We also remember to leave gifts behind, like Maurice Sendak, the author of Where the Wild Things Are, who transitioned yesterday. His story lives in my heart, and how he said yes and left his mark inspires me. I want to be like that too, just in my own way. It's in the wild things that I find my greatest joys, with no rules and no lines to mind, just plenty of opportunities to choose to shine. We choose to become alive. And that's the story of 19. Through our friends, the Buffalo Medicine Cards and the Sun and Tarot. All is well. I'll see you on Thursday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. Yes, indeed. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade and LifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426-3346. Time is doing what time does. So we should be used to this by now, so we're not going to trip about time. But we're still with the conversation around grief. We have Geraldine. Geraldine said, my son transitioned 14 years ago at 35. I went through 12 years of severe grief, including under psychiatric care. I found no purpose in life all that time. I had no one to talk with other than my therapist. My family and my friends just didn't want to talk. They didn't want to talk with me, and I didn't know anything about altars or anything else. She said, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I still go through the grief. I still go through that grief, and it's still here. So she's just beginning to learn this. What would you share with Geraldine that she can continue to do to help her in the loss of her son?
Geraldine, I am so sorry for your loss and for our communal loss also. I think what you are struggling with is not just the loss of your child, but it is also the loss of the community. It is the loss of support and the loss of witnessing that you have not had. And one of the reasons why it has been so difficult is that you have had to hold your grief, and you have had to hold also the grief of every single person in the family. And that's why, you know, it was so maddening. Because when people who are so close to you do not get involved in your loss, you know, it's as if you have to not only do your work, but you have to also do their work to kind of bridge your world to their world. But I would say that, you know, you have been doing the right thing, that I would suggest that maybe you also create an altar for your child so that he is an integral part of your day and so on. The other thing that I would like to also suggest is that when we lose someone close to us, it also means that the person has given us a new ticket to life. So whatever their dream was, whatever they were not able to achieve in this world, it is now our responsibility to live it. So if he wanted to travel, if he wanted to do things, it would be very important for you to do those things so that he can live vicariously through you. And that would be the biggest gift that you can give to yourself and to him as well. And also continuously, you know, seek out the support of those people who are loving, who can stand in the fire with you and can hear, you know, the waves of emotions that may arise through your loss. And that is one of the healthiest ways, you know, to not shut down your emotion, but to allow your emotion to stay alive. That is the only way to heal. Because when we battle our emotion, then they become very toxic and articulate themselves in terms of harm to ourselves or to other people.
I trust that that filled your soul, Geraldine. We've got a caller. Let's take a call. Okay, let's go to Eric Cole 678. You are live. What's your name and where you're calling from? That's an Atlanta number, but you may not be in Atlanta. 678.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Melva Highlands, Coach Ade. Hi, Mother Sobonfu. How are you?
We are doing terrific.
Yes, indeed.
Good, good. I am calling with a question that is a little off subject, but it is around African spirituality that I'm hoping you can assist me in, and it's just around some thinking that I've been doing around grief, but around blood. And I'm wondering, as we talk about community, if you could help me think through the significance of women, the significance that women play, particularly menstruating women play in community. So I'm thinking about those women who have been marginalized in community around blood taboos and so have been asked to stay outside of communities and the type of grief that that yields. I'm also thinking about sort of women who grieve the flow of blood because they desire a particular thing, for instance, the desire of motherhood, which cannot come if the flow continues. So I know it's a little bit off task, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to ask you because I don't know when it'll come again, so hopefully you can help me think through that.
Well, it would always be a joy for me to come back to life conversation. So this is not the last. But sure, I'm happy to answer this question on behalf of all our sisters and children. Menstruating is very important. It is a sacred time. It is a time when the veil between worlds are non-existent for women. It is a time when we can tune into spiritual energies and bring messages back, you know, not just for us but for our entire community. It is a time to honor ourselves and to honor the person who is menstruating. And so there are a lot of fears because people have not been brought up with the ideas that menstruation is sacred. So a lot of people are afraid of a menstruating person. There are several reasons for it. One is because the power that the menstruating woman taps in, if she does not have the consciousness to know that what she says during that time is manifested. We were talking earlier about prayer. So this is one of those things that whatever you say, if it does not, if it's not conscious, you know, you can inadvertently harm someone even with the words that you say, because it is a time when whatever you say, it's an ultimatum. It's like the ancestors, the spirit, the goddesses, the god, they're supporting you fully. So that's why in my tradition, you are praying to know that this is a time of power and that what comes out of you should be the utmost divine expression. So in another word, you will not be cursing people or saying negative things to people around that time because those things will stick. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, people are afraid of women who are menstruating because they don't know, you know, what is going to come out of them. But I definitely believe that with a proper kind of training and awareness, you know, it is possible to honor the menstruating woman, that she does not need to be isolated unless she chooses to, and that we can actually go to the woman who is menstruating for clarification of our purpose, of things that are happening in our life, so that we can get crystal clear answers as to how to handle those things or how to help, how to manifest new things in our lives and so on. So, consciousness and holding this time sacred is important, and that we need to definitely honor the woman who is menstruating to support her in bringing the messages that she's receiving from spirit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara, for bringing that question forward, because it's very important. You know, there's a religious institution that believe in the woman menstruating shouldn't come in this building after 7 days and all that other stuff. I don't know why we're afraid of life. It's like we're afraid of life. We're afraid of sex. We're afraid of a woman just doing what a woman does. But, yeah, like you said, we're just going to bring you back and have that conversation. And I wanted to do this because we've got a couple of minutes. Seriously, meant to squeeze both. Is there anything else you want to say about grief? Because I got another question that's very important to me. Is there anything else you want to add about grief and rituals and embracing it?
Well, I would say that grief is an important part. It's kind of like the need for the soul to clean itself. And the more we give it opportunity to clean itself, the purer our spirit and our soul will become, and the better our health as well. Mm. And so to be able to grieve together and to support someone in their grief is to really bless each other. It is a way of bringing life back to the community. It is a way of affirming each other, because when we bear witness to someone's grief, it helps that grief to move from a place of stuckness to a place where it is fluid, that it can be released completely. But when we miss that witnessing, you know, the experience becomes very much alone, isolating, and then we start to become confused and lose our ways and so on. And so grief is a natural part of us. It is a God's gift, believe it or not, because when we are not able to grieve, we cannot genuinely express joy too. So those two things go hand in hand, and you cannot have one without the other. And in my tradition, a tear is sacred. A tear is a prayer. A tear is a way of blessing us, the world, and it's a way of communing with spirit as well. And so do not be afraid of your grief. Do not be afraid of other people's grief. Just learn to support it, not to take it on, but to hold the space for them so that they can do the work they need to do.
Now, that's a good point. Not to take it on. Just hold the space. Don't take it on. You've got enough of your own to deal with. And here's something you say about embracing grief, Sabalfi. You said, surrendering to your sorrow has the power to heal the deepest wounds. Surrendering to your sorrow has the power to heal the deepest of wounds. That's something we can all let marinate in our consciousness. And stop running, letting go, and just create a sacred space for ourselves. But, Sabalfi, before we let you go, I've got to ask you this because it's so in my heart. What are your thoughts on men and spirituality? Because it seems like there's this, I don't even want to say illusion, but it seems to me that when it comes to spiritual conversation like this, there are more females who are willing to have the conversation. What are your thoughts about that, and what can you share with us? Maybe to not judge what we're seeing and embrace what we're seeing, or maybe there's something else we need to do.
Well, I think it is how we bring our male children. At an earlier on, a lot of time we do what I call the silencing of the male. And if not, you know, I dare to say, you know, the killing of the spirit. You know, whereby we basically make it not okay for them, you know, to believe that spirit is alive in them and around them. We kill their emotions because, you know, we don't want them to really tap into that power. And so as a result, you know, our male children grow to be adults who are afraid of having, you know, spiritual conversation. And it's not that they don't know it, but it's just because they are afraid of the stigma, you know, that is attached to it because all their life they've been told otherwise. And so I really believe that, you know, we need to, you know, allow, you know, our male children to have, you know, the same opportunity to express the gifts that they bring from spirit and to encourage them, you know, to go into those places where they can tap into their spiritual force and can be honest about it and not stifle it as they grow.
Because it ends up coming out in other ways, fights, abuse, road rage, ending up in prisons and unsatisfied with jobs. It comes out just picking on other people, and we all got to come together and unite. Sister Sabonful, I can talk to you a whole day, a whole week. I got questions about my own personal experience about growing up in Nigeria, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for who you are, for your wisdom, for saying yes to your gift. So much so that you told people before you came here, I'm here to keep the rituals alive. And so thank you so much for showing up. And we definitely want to bring you back real, real soon because there's so much more we can talk about.
Oh, it's always a joy, my brother, to talk to you. And thank you for letting your gift shine.
Thank you. Anything else you want to add before you go? Maybe anything you're working on, workshop or project? I know you got the Wisdom Spring. The Wisdom Spring is a water project, right?
Yes, it is a water project. In fact, this Saturday in Leesburg, Virginia, near Washington, D.C., we are going to be doing a fundraiser out there. It is a fundraiser to give water to those people who don't have it in Africa and elsewhere. So if you're there, come walk with us, and you can find the information through my website, sobonful.com, or walkingforwater.org, and it will be a joy to see you there.
Thank you. Sobonful.com, sobonful.com, that's S-O-B-O-N-F-U.com. All the information is on there, or walkingforwater.org, right? Is that correct? Walkingforwater.org? Okay. Sister Sabonful, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to maybe next time you come, we might do a show for 2 hours. And just squeeze some more out of you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Life is good. It's getting better. You know, it's getting better. We have everything we need, and it's up to us to be the change we want to see. There are things that are happening that are frustrating. There are things that make you just want to go upside somebody's head, sometimes upside their own head. But if we could just trust and create what we want, create a community, be that sacred space for others, remember that we are so connected, that we're so much more than what we see in the physical eye. Let's see. I think I'm led to play something else by Sabonful here. There's something, let's see. Which one? I have different things I can play. There's one about, let's do intimacy and surrender. Because that's where the power is. When you intimately connect with yourself and others, you surrender to the all that is and say, God, universe, ancestors, have your way in me, through me, because I am here because of you. Here's Sabonful Sumay talking about intimacy and surrender. We'll be right back.
Intimacy is one of the most important things in our life. In my country, when two people meet, there is a new spirit that is born out of that relationship, which is called the spirit of intimacy, because healthy relationships are at the heart of human being life. When we meet someone, it's important to let our guard down, to surrender to what is being born, so that we can begin to experience that spirit of intimacy that is being born between us. When we meet and open our heart, we are able to then welcome someone into our heart while welcoming ourselves.
That's a nice summary to the conversation. We're going to play a song and we'll be right back. It's all about opening up to the gift of life, the gift that life is, the pain, the joy, like Sabonful said, the many colors of life, to
to surrender and allow life to reveal itself to us. When we come back, we get ready to release the show, and I got something else by Reverend Deborah Johnson. Where are you today? What are you feeling? How do you feel right now? What are you willing to create that is missing? Are you willing to say yes to your heart's desire? The time is now. All the shows are archived. You can come back and listen to the show, lifeconversationsradio.com. This is Karen Drucker. Karen Drucker, even. Guest of the Goddess. Let's celebrate our women. Let's celebrate our mothers, our grandmothers. They have so much to teach us without them even speaking, just their presence. Man, woman, and woman too. Honor your divine feminine. Brothers, honor that part of you that transcends the intellect. We'll be right back. Karen Drucker, Gifts of the Goddess.
These are the gifts of the Goddess, love, joy, and peace. Gifts of the Goddess, are you ready to receive all the gifts of the Goddess, love, joy, and peace? Gifts of the Goddess, are you ready to receive love? Are you ready? Joy, are you ready?
Gift of the Goddess. Bring it, I can handle it. But the truth is, to receive the gift, you gotta let go. You gotta release something. You gotta let something go in order to receive. You gotta give of yourself so you can receive. What are you holding on to? Are you ready to receive? Let go. Let go. Let go or get dragged. Karen Drucker. That's Karen Drucker. Her website address is karendrucker.com. Gifts of the Goddess. It's time to release the show. 2 o'clock today, in about, 25 minutes, we have Here to Inspire with Aisha. So make sure you tune in. Come back here, get your lunch, or you probably had your lunch. You had power lunch with me. So maybe you want to get a tea, peppermint tea, some ginger tea,
some coffee if you want. You want to do some alcohol? That's on you. It don't matter what I say. But anyway, whatever you want to get, just come back. Get back over here, whatever you get. At 2 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday, here to Inspire with Aisha. And we're getting ready to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. We're here Monday through Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Most of the time, well, official time, that is, and then we go over, because if we choose to. And all the shows are archived. You can find us on iTunes by clicking their button. Click the button. The button on the LifeConversationsRadio.com page. If you're just right under the signal with the world listening to Life Conversations Radio, there's an iTunes button. Just click that, and you can even subscribe to it, and then so you get regular downloads of the show. Be love, because it's the truth of who you are. Be true to yourself and be loved. Allow that love to come back. Open yourself up to receive the love. Don't be too strong to receive love. What does that mean? People say, I'm okay. I don't need anybody. No, be quiet. Don't be too strong to receive love. Just be ready to receive. And now I want to play something here by Abraham. Abraham. To find out more about Abraham and Jerry and Esther. Jerry may not be in the body, but he's still here, because he's always here. He's always been here, like you. When you die, you still be here. So anyway, Jester, Jerry and Esther is Jester. Esther and Jerry Hicks. To find out more about their work, you can go to abraham-hicks.com, abraham-hicks.com. This is Abraham talking about the so-called differences between men and women and what we can do to support one another. And then after that, I'll give you another gift of forgiveness. If you're really ready to forgive, to receive, you might have to forgive something. You got to forgive, F-O-R-E, forgive. Give in advance. Just give it up. Don't wait for them to give it to you. Say, I'm giving myself in advance the love that I know I am, that I desire. So we're going to play I Have Forgiven by State of Man. Their website address is stateofmanmusic.com, stateofmanmusic.com. Let's do this, actually. We'll do this, then play Abraham. This is Carly Jackson, Abraham, and then State of Man. Okay. Yeah, why not? I just want to give you a lot of gifts today. I'm feeling generous.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, we are, yes, you are. Carly Jackson, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. You can find her on Facebook. This is Abraham talking about the differences between male and females. Peace and blessings. I'm out.
Okay, last question. When I come to such like gatherings, what I notice as I look across the room is that it's predominantly women.
We hadn't noticed. We see energy, and your energy is the same, male or female. We see desire and allowing energy, and it is on that basis that we select you. But we have not noticed the male or female part of it. Why do you bring it up?
So what was the sentence you just said? You see energy on the, and it is...
Well, we read you from your energy.
Yes.
And so if there is strong desire and not much resistance, you light up in a way that makes you easy to find. In other words, we're not choosing you by your wardrobe.
Okay, and you're not referring to the people who sit in the hot seat here. You're talking about who comes into... The workshop, the gathering.
Well, we're talking about the hot seat. In other words, when we choose you for this place.
Okay, I'm not referring to the hot seat. I'm saying that those people that come to Abraham workshops, in my experience, or when I go to other New Age self-empowerment type workshops, what I see predominantly in terms of those people who attend are mostly women.
So it means one of two things. It means either men already understand their self-empowerment.
Well, here's the second part of what I was going to ask. Which is that when I turn on the television said, and I see all those people who are sitting in Congress or in the FBI or in those positions of government. What
That's
I see
what we said. Men
mostly
are already understanding their self-empowerment. You're not going to have your way with us. We're not going to join the ranks of pitting men against women. What happens in your society is sometimes women are more open. Men are a little more reluctant to expose themselves in any personal ways, but we would not notice that distinction. We think it is a distinction really not worth noticing. In other words, all of you are much more harmonious beings than otherwise. All of you are much more wanting the same things than wanting different things. And the less you do about pigeonholing and cataloging, then the more broad your life becomes. In other words, as you look for evidence that supports that belief, you diminish the number of men who can flow into your experience that match the vibration. In other words, we think that it is a non-issue.
Well, actually, part of my question had to do with what is it about the way the energy flows that men flow into those positions and they don't seem to flow here?
Well, we do not think that the numbers that you see in a gathering like this are really indicative of men or women who are reaching for their connection or even are living it. In other words, we don't think that them showing up at a gathering gives you a true reading of the effectiveness with which they flow energy. Men, for the most part, and it is never a good idea to put everybody in a basket and throw one label on it, but men are less conflicted than women because they consider less things simultaneously. They are more oriented toward the idea of, this is what I'm doing now, where women pride themselves in being multitasking. But in their multitasking, they're often multi-vibrating. They're often splitting their energy all over the place. If you were to take a poll of the planet and you were to try to discover who are the most focused among you, while certainly there are focused women, far and away there are more focused men. And if you would say, and of these who are focused, men or women, who is the less conflicted about how they focus? Men are much less conflicted. Women feel guilty about their work. They feel guilty about what they are doing that is apart from what they are doing. They feel guilty about not being broad in their spectrum. In other words, and it is not because it needs to be that way, but it is sort of the way you are oriented.
Thank you.
So you ask for it.
Yes. That was excellent. That's so excellent. Last question.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
My whole family. I have forgiven all the
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to...
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.